There is no time to waste time when developing a robot.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Robot Industry Podcast. And I'm pleased to have Yehuda Elmalia and Aria Yakil from Cogniteam. And welcome both of you to the podcast today.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Just to give our listeners a little bit of an example, how did you get started and how did you get where you are today at Cogniteam?
First, I met Ari in the academy. We learned together and we've been together in the same lab, developing an autonomous robot, doing our research under computer science in robotics. Then we established Cogniteam, a company at 2010. We focused on the way of Cogniteam was at the beginning, focused on developing project to robotics companies. So mostly we've been a project-based company. And it was a bootstrap. We didn't raise money at all at this time. At those times, it's 10 years to develop different robots in different environment. And all over those years, we really learned a lot on the industry and how to develop not only a demo for robotics, but also to develop products that running every day and are robust in a different environment, in different scenarios for clients all over the world.
So what do you feel are the industry's biggest challenges right now? Certainly time to market.
Absolutely. So, time to market, because the main issue, because everybody now will speak on the robotic revolution. There will be robots all over the way, and you look around and you find some vacuum cleaners, some robots that cleaning the pool, but we don't really see all the robotic revolution that everybody talk about it. But if you look deeply and you see that there are a lot of startups that building different solutions, and actually we are really starting this revolution. But what we realize over the years of over the 10 years of doing projects to different companies, that it really take time. And most of the companies, for example, you take founders that raise money and now they need to develop a robot and to deploy it. It takes around 6 years to do that. To do a demo, it's half a year, and you have a demo and you go to press and you say, "Whoa, amazing robot." But until you deploy the robots, it takes 6 time. But if you look on your friends, you know, from the software industry, 1.5 year to 2 years, and they are in production. So why take so much time? Because, you know, in robotics, we are in hardware. We are developing hardware. And this is actually one of the well understanding over those years, and we really understand that this is a problem in robotics. And that's why we build a solution called Nimbus to shorten all the time of developing a robot, and also not only by developing, but also deploying a robot. Okay, when you are now ready and you sell the robots, actually you sell a hardware. You sell a hardware all over the world, okay? And now you need to maintain the software for this hardware. You need to fix problems, bugs, to be able to enter from remote, to get analytics about the fleet of your robots that are moving all over the world, okay? And those are really well learned at all of our, you know, from the day Cogniteam was established. And we developed this system called Nimbus that shortened the time of development and deployment and really help companies to focus on their IPs. An additional thing, sorry that the answer is too long. So additional thing that we learn, that if you take a company, for example, 20 engineers, and even, you know, 20 software engineers that not focusing on the hardware part of the robot, but developing the autonomy for the robot. From those 20, you will find one or two, no more than that, that really focus on the main problem of the company, the main IP, the navigation in the specific environment when the robot is moving, okay? And all the rest is trying to building, you know, the infrastructure for the robot. And that's why we see this repeatedly on different companies and find, oh, this is a really important layer that should be used by any companies that we really familiar with and learn their need. So this is, for us, this is what we learn. There is a robotic revolution. We are in a golden age of a single mission robot, and it takes too much time, and we wanted to shorten this time.
Yeah, and just to reiterate a few things. So the thing with the six-year story, you know, that it takes to develop a robot in respect to the one and a half years. So it's also an issue that, you know, makes raising money for robotic companies harder and in respect to software companies. And also it's something that affects, so we see it a lot with companies, you know, the company, when it starts, it's not the same company when it grows. So initially it's about a few engineers. The story is about a few engineers that they build a robot, you know, they test their application, but eventually if they raise money for their company, then they will grow to be a different company. And that company will have a lot of people that are not all of them engineers, and they are not all of them specialized in robotics, and they have different roles in the company, and they need to be able to contribute to the development of that platform and to be able to maintain it and to manage it. And not all of them will be the same people that built the robot. So there is really an importance of building the right infrastructure to enable those companies to grow and then to become these robotic companies that can sell globally and can maintain the robot and maintain the updates and everything.
Thank you, Ariel. I think that's such a really interesting value proposition, because you're right. If you take 20 robot startups, all hiring 20 or 30 or 50, you know, programmers, and they likely have never done this before, and so they have a steep learning curve for sure. Can I ask who some of your bullseye customers are?
So mostly are the direct are the companies that develop robots, okay, develop and sell robots. But you know, those companies are in a different stages. Some of them are startups, some of them already deployed, and they need a specific need. For example, they need how to be able to upgrade and the software from remote and all of those. Others want to learn when they are in a large scale, they want analytics to understand better. So in our solution, we give a one-stop shop that for the startups, give them what they need for the development. When you are in deployment, you want the tools for deployments, and that's the OTAs, updates, etc. And when you are in large scale, the analytics. If you see on the growth of a company, when they need additional tools, they buy the specific tool. Okay, and then they go to the next stage and they buy the specific stage. And here we give them, you know, a full suite that you from the beginning enter and get all what you need and what you will need.
Nice.
So it's companies in different stages.
Nice, thank you. And can you tell us maybe some of the challenges in use cases that you're getting involved with?
Yeah, so when we, you know, when we started to work with companies, then we noticed that we had an idea of what those companies, of what these companies need and want. But eventually, when we actually start to do the integration and using the system, then we discover a lot more that and sometimes refine those needs. So one of the things, for example, that we learned is that a lot of those companies need support in defining and their architecture sometimes they need to understand, you know, better how to make some specific functionality of autonomy work with the whole of the rest of the system. So that's one thing that we notice a lot, especially with small companies, that sometimes they need help in the guidelines of how to build autonomy and how to compose correctly those components so that when they will compose them together on a robot, they will work well. So our system is also built. It has that notion of how you build modules that are correctly defined. So when you deploy them and when you containerize them and then when they are used together, the interfaces between them are well built and they enable you to maintain them over time. So that's one thing, for example, that we noticed. A lot of time, helping companies to develop a platform when they're not on site. That's something that we, it's something that is clear when you have an infrastructure like the one that we built, but it's not something that is so common as a method of work. But now with COVID and a lot of people working outside the office, then the ability to work remotely, but not only manage the robot, but actually do some heavy lifting of coding and testing software and do the whole development where you're not in front of the robot, that's something that's really interesting. And we have a few teams that are working in that manner, that they are not at all near the robot, that the robot is in some other country, and still they develop software for that robot, and they test that in a live setting, and they are able to continue and develop and add new functionality. So that's something that was totally new. We had a few clients that something that we didn't even thought about were for example, built we built with them something and went on site to test some new functionality. And that functionality was fine, and it was really working, and everything was going well. And then we finished that integration and we closed everything. And we went on to develop something else that we wanted to test in the same day. And because news takes time to travel, then someone came a few hours later while we were in the middle of testing some other different functionality and said, you know, this feature was really nice. Maybe you can demo it for me. And that's something that you really don't want to do when you're usually developing something else on a robot. That all your focus is on something else, and now you have to reconfigure everything and reset the robot and take everything and roll back some parameters and updates and gits and other things. And the ability to just say, okay, no problem, I've tested this at 12:45, let's go back to that configuration and let's run it and have everything instantaneously roll back and have that same configuration, and the ability to return to that exact configuration of sensor calibration parameters, the whole system and everything. So that was something that was really interesting. We didn't experience it, and it was really nice that we were able to do that, because it's not something that we were thinking as a use case that we would test with usual clients.
So you were able to pull it off in the demo, which is always the most frightening part, right, of robotics and automation. So how do you sell? Do you sell through partners or integrators, or do just startup companies just find you?
So we sell in different abilities, okay, or different
channels.
Okay. One of them is direct. You know, there are companies that we directly in contact with them and meet them and show them, do a short demo, and then start the process. Okay. Others are through our partners. We have different partners and using their visibility. Okay. And sometimes with specific partnership to their clients. Okay. For example, we made an amazing webinar together with Aon, that producing computers to robots and to robots, and also for IoT devices, and there was amazing exposure of our solution to their client, and then we get some clients that we will now in a progress with them for migration to Nimbus, and so different also with Nvidia, that we have a partnership and running supporting their GMs in the Isaac SDK for their Jetson platform. So those are example of partnership with companies and also direct sell.
And I had a question about, has the pandemic changed the new normal? But you kind of already talked a little bit about that, or Arya did, about everybody working from everywhere now, and it's really become part of your workflow because it's part of your customers' workflow as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, you really see that in robotics company, because if you are now in development, somebody need to be in the lab to, you know, to turn on, to charge, to fix problems of the robots that you are really developing on. The amazing thing that we bring to our client, we most of them now in the pandemic can stay at home and work exactly like they are in the lab, okay? Actually, what they do, they also connecting a camera, a top camera that they can see from a different from a side view the robot, and not only from the robot's eye what it is doing, okay,
right,
but also from a side view. And in our system you can, you know, you can decide that the camera is actually a smart additional agent in the system, so you can also see it and see the robot, and you can debug it in real time, anything in the robot. And this is one part of the development. The additional issue, if they have some problem and they need our help, so it's easy, we tell them just share the robot. There is ability to share with one click the robot, and we see it in our screen, and we can also help from any place. And it was amazing, you know, to support in client that sit in United States and we are in Israel, and we can easily work together on the same robot.
No, it's...
And you see that also in developing and not only in deployment, you can work from remote in robotics.
Yeah, that's you're exactly right. Right, it's really hard to change out a sensor when you're not in the room with the robot, for sure. So you're kind of on a bit of a growth plan. We talked before the podcast that you're looking at expansion into North America.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, in about 2 months we are going to open offices also in North America, and start also do the customer success and work with companies and with client using our solution.
The robot investors must love you guys, because when you can take a story that tends to be like 6 years long and compress it into 1 or 1.5 years, it really can be impactful. And the difference between a robot company is actually succeeding and just maybe taking a long, long time to succeed. So do you know where your offices are going? Are we saying that yet or no?
No, we can't. We are, there are a few places that we are now, we didn't decide it yet.
Excellent. Well, no, that's good. So what do you guys do when you're not programming robots? Ari and Yehuda?
What I'm doing, you know, the regular thing, a regular sport, but the running, etc. But the main sport that I really like is the free diving. Okay, so
nice.
Yeah. But it's only in summer, so I can only think about it now.
Yes. How about you, Aria?
So first of all, I'll say that Yuda has some amazing footage, like you get some amazing view of free diving, just amazing to see it. And what I like to do in my spare time, so I'm a hobbyist horologist. So I like to dismantle clock and service them and rebuild them. That's like a hobby of mine.
I'll have to send you a picture of my clock that I've got not working on my mantle. So, did we forget anything in the podcast today, gentlemen?
Well, I think no. Yeah.
And so, how do people get a hold of you if they are, maybe they're starting a robot company or they're stalled in getting to where they need to go? How do they connect with you?
Just send an email. We are fully responsive. Sending email, we will return back and easily set a meeting, do demo, and help them what they need. Yeah.
And so is that at Cog, and your website is cogniteam.com, like cogniteam.com.
Yeah, and the product itself is cognimbus.com, but you can enter from Cogniteam and then arrive to the product itself for the Nimbus.
Great, and I'll put a link to your company and your information on the show notes. So with that, I want to thank you both for coming onto the podcast.
Thank you, Jim. It was great.
Our sponsor for this episode is Ehrhardt Automation Systems. Ehrhardt builds and commissions turnkey solutions for their worldwide clients. With over 80 years of precision manufacture, they understand the complex world of robotics, automated manufacturing, and project management, delivering world-class custom automation on time and on budget. Contact one of their sales engineers to see what Ehrhardt can build for you. And their info at ehrhardtautomation.com. And Ehrhardt is spelled E-H-R-H-A-R-D-T. And I'd also like to thank our partner A3, the Association for Advancing Automation. They're the leading automation trade association for robotics, vision and imaging, motion control and motors, and the industrial artificial intelligence technologies. Visit automate.org to learn more. And I'd like to thank Painted Robot. Painted Robot builds and integrates digital solutions. They're a web development firm that offers SEO and digital social marketing and can set up and connect CRM and other ERP tools to unify marketing, sales, and operations. And they're at paintedrobot.com. And if you'd like to get in touch with us at the Robot Industry Podcast, you can find me, Jim Beretta, on LinkedIn. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Be safe out there. Today's podcast was produced by Customer Traction Industrial Marketing. I'd like to thank my nephew, Chris Gray, for the music, Chris Colvin for audio production, my partner, Janet, our partners, A3, Painted Robot, and our sponsor, Earhart Automation Systems.